you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Or you can get us streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. And it is just a blessing and a privilege to come before you once again here on A True Church Perspective, where we attempt to give you the Word of God, uncut, unedited, the way God wants it to be preached, without messing with the Word or trying to change it in order to get sponsors and money and different things. But we want to preach the truth of the Word, whether it offends you, whether it blesses you. We want the Word to come forth. I just believe we are living in a time where so many people have fallen into the trap of deception. A lot of them don't even know that they are deceived, but because of financial responsibilities when it comes to large buildings and different things, or because of, you know, people pleasing and men pleasing and trying to get larger audiences and just the desire to be before large groups of people. Because of these things, people are not practicing nor teaching holiness like they should be. And they're afraid to come forward with values of righteousness as reflected in the Word. Now, we know we're human. We know we make mistakes and error, but the Word is perfect. And we should be preaching the Word of God uncut. We should not change the Word of God to go with our desire and our lifestyle and what we want to do. No. I believe that the Word of God should not be hindered because of man's desire to be something in this life, but the Word of God should come forth with truth and power. Our lives here on earth don't mean a thing if we are not standing for the truth of the Word of God. If we are Christians, then Christians stand up. And that is my charge to you this morning, because we're in a different time than we were in last year, the year before that, and 10 years ago. It's a different time, people of God. So we must key in and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And don't be tempted to do something that God has not desired for you to do. You know, that's what the devil is. He's a tempter. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. He's here to bring temptation to you. He's here to tempt you out of your call, out of your purpose, out of the thing that you know is right. The devil is here to stop and hinder that. And a lot of times we look at how the devil's going to do it, and we think the devil's going to come and try to bring some kind of sin to throw you off track. But don't you understand that the devil will start years in advance, and he'll start slowly chipping away at you. And a lot of times he'll start, you know, small diversions, or he'll start, you know, doing things, little bitty things. Like I preached a sermon earlier last year, little foxes, the small foxes. The devil comes in like that, and he'll begin to inject small portions of compromise in you, just slowly breaking down your defenses, so that ultimately you'll look up one day and you'll see, man, I have gone so far from God. How did I get this far from God? And it's because the enemy was injecting small injections of poison in you, so small that you didn't even see it. And that is the way the devil does. He tries to drop those little things. And sometimes he comes at you with the same things that he's he's always working with. And there are three things I believe the scripture reveals to us in the passage in Luke 4 and 1. I believe these three things that the enemy tempted Jesus with, I believe these are key in how the enemy tempts us all. I believe God is showing us something here. I believe that he wanted us to see what the devil does to a believer, to a Christian, and how he tries to tempt a Christian out of his call and get them on the wrong path so that they ultimately lose their place in what it is that God has them to do. So let's go to that. Let's go to that passage, Luke 4 and 1, and let's talk about this so we can get these three things. Now, these are three things that the enemy tempted Jesus with, and I believe that this is an example for us all. This is something that God wants us all to see, because the way he tempted Jesus here is a pattern. And this pattern is the pattern that the enemy always uses to come after believers. He's going to come after you in these three ways. Let's read Luke 4 and 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered, of course. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. So we see here that Jesus did not turn the stones into bread because the enemy had asked him to. And that goes back to what I said in part five of The Truth Behind Hip Hop, the Michael Jackson song, We Are the World, where they said, as God has shown us by turning stones to bread. It was just an antichrist verse in that song. And now we know that some of the gospel artists have gotten together and start singing that demonic mess. But anyway, let me get back to the passages. Luke 4 and 5 says, And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomever I give it to. And if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered him and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Boy, the devil knows the word, doesn't he? He knows how to use it for his advantage. And then Luke 4:11, And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. This is a very important passage here. This is showing us a pattern that the enemy has come in. And I believe we're going to strategically place ourselves in a position to know what God desires. We got to know what the devil is doing. I believe that knowing what the devil is up to is key in understanding where we are in this life. I believe that you have to know your enemy if you're going to properly fight your enemy. Now, listen, for those of you that don't fight the devil and you don't fight an enemy, and God just put you here just to just love, and you just love all the time, and love and love and love, you know, and there's no fight in you. You don't believe there is a fight. We shouldn't fight. There's no fight against the devil. There is no devil, whatever that inclusion message that you got from Carlton Pearson. If you're put here to preach that and believe that, then this message is not for you. So you might as well just go on and turn to your favorite R&B station and listen to some love songs, because I believe that this is a fight. And the Bible says, Paul said, this is a fight of faith. It is a fight. That means we are being attacked, and we have to be on the defense and the offense. We have to fight this battle so that we can stay where God wants us. And this is giving us some insight on the enemy that we're fighting. Now, how are you going to fight an enemy that you can't see? How are you going to fight an enemy that you don't understand? How are you going to fight an enemy that is playing tricks on you to the point to where you don't understand what he's actually after? So I believe the scripture here in Luke is showing us what the devil is after, what he's trying to do. And this particular pattern doctrine applies to us all. We will all see the enemy, all of us that are believers, come at us in these three ways. There were three things that the enemy always uses against believers, the same three that he used against Christ. And the devil said unto him, Luke 4:3, if thou be the Son of God, command the stones that it be made to bread, because Jesus was hungry after he fasted. This is the devil doing number one. Number one of the three things, attack your ability to be disciplined. Listen, the devil wants to attack your self-control, saying no to sin and yes to God. The devil wants to attack your ability to keep your word, keep you backsliding. He wants to keep you frustrating the grace of God by living in a sin-oriented life. Listen, believers, please hear me. Don't just go get under a preacher that won't preach against sin. Don't just go get under a lascivious bishop that is more concerned about his position than your disposition. Don't heap upon yourself teachers having itching ears, those that will just preach what you want to hear and it makes you feel good about the sin and about the way you conduct yourself. Get under someone that will challenge you with the word of God so that you can live better. Listen, I'm talking about living a life where you can handle sin, even when you fall into sin, a life where you can repent and get out of it and not practice sin. That's what I'm talking about, because the devil wants to attack your ability to be disciplined. Why does he want to do that? Because he is an accuser of the brethren, and every time he can get you into sin, he can accuse you of being his. He is the father of sin. He is the father of confusion. He is the son of perdition. He's the son of sin. He is sin itself. And so if you practice sin, then you have his attribute. And in Jesus, there was no sin. And this is why he wants you in that lifestyle. This is why he wants you to get under some preacher that's not going to challenge that, to get under some preacher that's doing that himself, to get under someone that sin doesn't bother them. And we all sin, and we all messing up all the time. And, you know, someone that is just constantly wallowing in it. Now, please don't get me wrong. We do have an advocate with the Father, so that if we do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. But listen to this. He doesn't just want you to apologize for sin, but he wants you to repent of sin. That means to turn from it. So we want to make sure we understand the enemy came at Jesus to cause him to make stone into bread to feed himself. Why? Because he wanted to disrupt his own self-control, his ability to control himself. When he got hungry, he could have done that and just had bread instantly, but because of his self-control and his ability to tell the flesh no and yes to God, he denied the devil this opportunity to tempt him. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence the ignorant charges and inform criticisms of foolish people. Did you hear what the scripture just said? You doing right in the eyes of those that are opposing Christians and against us, it silences the criticism of foolish people. So the Bible is telling us here, just because you may feel you can get away with it, you shouldn't do it, because eyes are on you, and we will lose this world if they feel that we are just like them. If there is no power over sin in the body of Christ, then why would the sinner ever turn his heart unto Christ? Y'all, please hear what Peter is saying here. It's very important that you understand this. So the devil comes and attacks your ability to be disciplined, your self-control, so that you would do things spontaneously out of the flesh without thinking, things that affect your kingdom witness. These people are watching you, and many are led astray because they watch you fall constantly into the same sins and practice sin as a lifestyle. The second thing that the devil tempted Jesus with, he took him on a high mountain, according to the scripture, and the devil said, all this power I will give to you. I will give you the kingdoms of the world, for they are mine to give. Now, this is what the devil is saying, and he wasn't lying, because the Bible said that he is the God of this world, and we know the kingdoms that are established here on earth, the governments, all recognize Lucifer as God. I've studied this for years, the Illuminati and all the different things, all the different ones in government, the Freemasons, all these different organizations that worship Satan and false gods and Greek gods and all these different things, these fraternities, sororities, all this stuff leads to those that are elite. All these things take the elite and give them the god of this world, the god of themselves, mammon, the god of flesh, money. They're driven by all of these different opportunities to succeed, and they make these things their god. They join up in organizations, secret societies, different things, so that they can position themselves for greatness to rule the governments of this world. Even Jesus himself said, the governments of this world, that this is not my kingdom. Those are not my kingdom. His kingdom was the kingdom of God. But here is the devil trying to offer him the world's kingdoms if he would bow down and worship him. And I got news for you. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you will worship only the Lord your God. So he was saying, no, I don't want your kingdoms. I don't want the kingdoms of this world. I don't want the influence of this world. Because, you know, the scripture tells us all that is in this world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things disgust our Lord God. But many people are getting wrapped up into these things, and the devil is coming with number two, the attack on your affirmation and desire to be more in the eyes of men. The devil's gonna come at you so that you can position yourself for greatness in the earth, so that you can receive an applause of men, a pat on the back, or someone can acknowledge what you are doing. But the scripture is telling us that we should deny that. We should humble ourselves. Yeah, we all like to be told we're doing a good job and those kinds of things. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when your focus becomes being great in this life and having your name in lights and everybody to see you and know you. Whenever you sell your soul for those things, then you are tempted by the enemy and you've fallen into the same temptation that he offered unto Jesus Christ himself. But your desire should be to please God and do the things of God. If you delight yourself in him, he'll change your desires into those desires. Yeah, you want a good job. Yeah, you want to study. You want to go to school. You want to get a good job. But man, get it in a fraternity or a sorority just so you can have sorors and frat brothers and get ahead in this life. They even having step shows and all of that Greek God worship and junk in churches. People are bringing this junk to their churches. People are operating those worldly systems and those worldly kingdoms in their own churches. Pastors with brands and tattoos and in step shows and being a part of Freemasonry. They got Freemason crest on their churches and they're wearing the rings and it's on their cars and they're pastoring God's people. They've sold God out for an opportunity to be something in this life, to take oaths unto false gods just to position themselves for greatness, and then masquerade themselves, because that's all they're doing, masquerade themselves as some kind of believer in the Bible. That makes no sense at all. But this is an attack. This is what Satan came and tried to tempt Jesus with. I'm going to give you these worldly kingdoms so you can rule the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus said, I don't want the kingdoms of this world. I don't need those things. And he's basically saying, I have my own kingdom to establish. So I'll take down now. I'll humble myself now and be exalted later. Philippians 2:7 tells us that Jesus made no reputation of himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a mortal, mere mortal man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even died on a cross in the flesh. Now, so what this scripture is telling us is that he humbled himself in the position of a normal man, knowing that he was God of all in the flesh. But he said, I'm going to humble myself. He took down, and then God exalted him highly and gave him a name above every name. So what he is teaching us here, the principle he's teaching us, is found in James 4:6. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. If you can humble yourself and not lift yourself up in the eyes of men, not push your agenda, not push who you are, not desire to be seen and lifted up and known in the eyes of men all the time, making decisions based on your ability. This is what what troubles me about the entertainment industry of America and about the music industry and about the movies and all these different things. These movie stars, people are doing whatever they have to do to try to gain ground and be seen of men. They're bringing celebrities, even in the churches. They're shaking hands and bumping elbows with Hollywood, and they're trying to make movies and different things to get on those platforms. And, you know, they're being best friends with drag queens and just anything these bishops and these selfish men can do to push their own agenda. They try to do it so they can stay relevant and in the eyes of people. And it is a sad day. They sell Jesus out. They don't call the name of Jesus in their movies, but in rather they put cursing and profanity in there. They don't stand up for Jesus in the public eye, but rather they stand up for their own agenda. These are the things that the enemy tempted Jesus with, but Jesus passed the test. Are you passing the test? Are you after some affirmation from men? Are you pleasing men? Are you desiring for men to see you and recognize you rather than seeing God and accepting Jesus as their personal savior? This brings me to number three, which is, I believe, the most important one. The Bible tells us that the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle, a high place of the temple, and said, "If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't tempt me no more." And then the Bible tells us that the devil left and ended the temptation and departed from him for a season. Now, this one is very important because this is the devil coming and attacking the very reason that Jesus was here. Jesus's purpose was being attacked right here. And let me explain. The devil tempted Jesus to use his power for himself, and Jesus rebuked him. So we should always rebuke the devil when he comes to cause us to use our ability to talk to God, our ability to be blessed of God, our ability to have favor of God. When we begin to use that for our own selfish motivation, our own selfish things, then we've totally forgotten the purpose of these different things. God has brought us into this new life. He's given us new life. He's given us power and authority. He's given us all these things, not so that we can look good and do things all the time for ourselves, but he gave us these things so that the kingdom of God can be established on the earth. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is a set of rules. It's a government that has been placed here. Jesus is the king, and we work for the king, but we are to bring others into the kingdom. We are to care for others. We are to be an example for others. We are to live right before others. We are kingdom citizens that should conduct ourselves as kingdom citizens. This is what the enemy wanted to try to stop with Jesus. He wanted Jesus to use his power for something superficial. And Jesus is like, "No, my power is for the kingdom. I'm here to establish the kingdom on earth." Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound," or because there will be so much sin, "the love of many shall wax cold." What is he talking about here? He's talking about the love for your neighbor, the desire to help someone, even having others in your sights or focused on others, being focused on others, really helping, really sharing the gospel, really being about helping your brother. These things will be forfeited for the sake or the lack of love in the individuals. Why? Because sin will be so great. So you have to understand, sin is selfishness. And when people give themselves over to a life of practicing sin, then they begin to become selfish, and it's all about them, and they spend the day trying to figure out what they're going to do for themselves. They spend their lives trying to figure out how they can be greater and better in the eyes of men. They spend all their time seeking to pleasure themselves, and they don't fulfill the great commission of God to "go ye therefore and teach all nations." The Bible is telling us that to be kingdom citizens, to qualify as a kingdom citizen, you have to obey kingdom rules. The Bible tells us, John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." This means that the things you want, the things you desire, the things you feel, the things you want to accomplish, sometimes you got to lay those aside and and lay your life down to help others, to be in a position to bless others. Don't you know that even the word you're receiving right now is not just for you, but it's so you can digest it and then you can speak it, so you can share it, so you can help someone else. But if we're always living in sin and struggling in sin and struggling in all these different situations, and then we go to these churches where people are always catering to our issues and problems, don't you understand that that makes you self-centered? That means that your whole life consists of you trying to better yourself, and you totally forget that there is a world out there that needs to hear what God is able to do. But you need God to do it in your life, and you need to get past that falling down and getting up stage, and you need to mature into a better believer so that you can lead others into Christ, so that you can love your brother properly, not just focus on yourself, not just desire to please your flesh, but you can love someone else and share your life, share the gospel, share your walk with them. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So just as the devil tried to tempt Jesus into using his power for superficial reasons, Jesus was like, that is not what I'm here for, but I'm here to seek and save those which are lost. I'm here to preach the kingdom of God, and I'm here to give my life to others. I'm here to lay down my life for my friends, for those that I call friend. He's going to lay down his life for them. And this is what God wants us to do. This is what God wants you to do. Not just preachers and bishops, but this is to the lay member. This is to the person that comes into service on Sunday. You're not supposed to just get a word for yourself so you can make it through the week. No, you're supposed to be learning of the word of God and getting an understanding of what God desires so you can go do what God has called you to do, so your purpose can be fulfilled in the earth and you can please the true and living God. I believe these three things the enemy always does. Just like he tempted Jesus with them, he continues to tempt us as believers with them to this day. He attacks, first attacks your ability to be disciplined. Second, he attacks your lack of affirmation and desire to be more in the eyes of men. And three, he attacks the very reason we are saved, to die and lay down our life for someone else. But it's easy to combat these things. It's very easy. All we have to do is keep God our focus. You notice Jesus, when he responded to the devil, he brought God in it every single time. Listen to what he said. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then he said, the second temptation, he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And then the third temptation, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he brought God in it every time. And that's what we have to do with our lives. We have to keep God in it. That's what my message was about last week. Line of sight, keeping God where we can see him, keeping him in clear view. That's what we have to do. If we're going to overcome these temptations like Jesus did, we got to keep God in it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just believe that this was a word given to your people, God. I believe that we are in a time right now where we need more messages like this. God, we need men to stand up and be men about the word. We need men to stand up and not fear, not be afraid to preach certain things for fear of not getting a good offering or not paying the bills or losing members. God, we are in a place right now where many of the shepherds that you called that once stood for you no matter what, God, they're taken down and they're softening up their stand because the signs of the times are here and their hearts are failing them and they're falling away. But God, I pray right now that those that you have led to this broadcast, those that are downloading it and forwarding it, those that are speaking it boldly and believing it, God, I pray that you would give them even more boldness, Father God, to declare your coming in this last day, to declare your coming in this hour, to declare that you are about to crack the sky. Father God, I believe, Lord God, that you've commissioned us to do the True Church Perspective, and it is here to aid those, God, that are looking for the word in its fullness. God, looking for the word, being truthful and honest. God, they're looking for the truth, and I pray that the truth continues to come to them, God. And I pray right now that those that are struggling, those that are getting weak, those that are getting weary, that you will not let them be weary and well-doing, God, but that you would comfort and strengthen them. God, God, let them get under a man of God that's strong and not afraid. Let them get under someone, God, that will lead them and not take down. Let them get under someone, God, that is not afraid of the truth, but will lay down their lives, God, just like Jesus did for us. Lay down their own lives, their own desires, their own wishes and wants and dreams, and they'll lay them down for what you will have them do, God, in this hour. I pray and believe it in Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.